welcome to the Extraordinary Practice Podcast, where we're here to elevate your holistic practices. My name is Kim. I'm a registered acupuncturist in Alberta and British Columbia, Canada, and acutonics practitioner. And I'm joined today by my longtime friend and fellow lifelong learner, Kat Simpson.
Ask me a question.
Okay. Why are you a good fit for this podcast, Kat?
Honestly, we will have three-hour phone conversations and everything we say is so fun. And we're like, we should be recording this and make a podcast.
Right now.
We're smart ladies. We love learning. There's so many cool things out there that we know about and we can share about and bring in all this random factoids and 90s references so that it's going to be not your normal podcast. I was a stand-up comedian briefly.
Yeah, so Kat and me have been friends for a really long time, and both of us just really have enjoyed, you know, the more occult or mystical or metaphysical vibrations.
Yeah, like the new age crystals and like using herbs to heal thyself.
Yeah, it's like it's been a fun journey. We've kind of bifurcated, and I'm in Bragg Creek, Alberta now, and she's back in Medicine Hat. But we still connect a lot and just have these deep conversations all the time. And we just thought, hey, let's bring it and share it with others. So today we are just gonna, you know, set the stage.
Yeah, like what is this? What is it? What are we doing here? What are we doing?
What are we doing here? Well, we're going to be talking about sound healing and, you know, bringing it into your body work practice. You know, if you're a acupuncturist, massage therapist, you're doing maybe a psychologist, you're doing energy healing, Reiki.
So you're a healer and your soul's work is healing.
So you are nurturing, you are out there and you're maybe looking for a way to layer sound and frequency onto your current modality that you have.
Are you a musician at all? Like, is that why sound is kind of interesting to you? Like, what is it about sound?
That's a really interesting question. So yeah, actually I did go up to grade 10 Royal Conservatory in piano as a child.
Wow.
And I always had an ear for different intervals and playing. So I guess that's in a way when you move out of your house at 18, you can't take your piano. You can take a guitar, but the piano was the size of my kitchen. So I just kind of let it drop for many years. And then as I was finishing up acupuncture school, I actually attended some yoga classes and heard a gong, and that kind of woke something up in me.
And your spirit connected immediately, and you knew, and you just,
like, you just knew.
Your early childhood formative years, it was so important to you, and you advanced in musicianship.
Yeah. And so it's like a coming home.
Right.
It's like a remembering of the musicality. And then as soon as I learned about acutonics, which is a modality I'm also licensed or practicing in at this time, it was this marriage of traditional Chinese medicine, meridians and channels and points, and then also the layering of the sound frequency with the tools.
So I just want to pause you there. Like, I love words. I love the history of words, etymology. So when I think of acupuncture, I think of acu as an acute location, like a specific place. And puncture, with acupuncture being a needle, and you'll puncture that spot. What it needs. So when I think of acutonics, I think of an acute tone, right?
Yes.
So when you say, well, what is acutonics? It's the same as like an acupuncture, but you're using a tone.
Absolutely.
Right?
So it's a really neat way to layer. You're using the base theory of, say, ancient Chinese medicine. You're using five element theory. So you're also mapping the body with the meridians and channels see it in Chinese medicine. But then you're layering a tuning fork. So typically a two-pronged acoustic resonator that has a specific frequency. So
Acoustic Resonator was my band name.
Ah, amazing.
Sorry, send me an
It is another. A good band name. But anyways, these tuning forks, per se, are not just a single frequency, where a needle is one frequency, right? So I can talk to that same, communicate to the same channels, the same meridians, but I can do it with a layer that's sort of a deeper way to do it, and it's less invasive, right? It's
why would you use a tuning fork and say not like a guitar or a ukulele or a
Well, a tuning fork, you can actually press right on to the body.
So,
you're,
so it's so instead of a needle, it's the vibration of the specific sound based on which tuning fork you've just selected.
Right. So I mean,
that's amazing.
And
I love
don't
that.
Get me wrong, I still do acupuncture. I'm still licensed to do that. And but it does, it gives me the ability to do
it's
so
a layer.
Much
like
more.
Like you said, you're connecting the dots.
Right. And sometimes we have tuning forks that low, medium, and high ranges in the acutonics modality. And you can speak to different resonances, even of the same frequency. So there's a lot of different options there. Plus, it's a great way to make the patient more comfortable and maybe stay in more of a parasympathetic state during the treatment time because they aren't being punctured with as many needles.
Right, and some people are just get the ick.
Right. And some people are scared of needles.
Exactly.
Like, yes. And some people, like children and sometimes seniors, it's not great to put needles in or indwell them, like stick them in.
Or if they're
stay.
Moving around, like trying to give a haircut and the kid's like, woo.
Right. So
you don't want a needle around him.
Right. So it gives us more options for treatment.
And gentler, less invasive.
Gentler. Right. Right. So, yeah. So a little bit about Chinese medicine. So I mean, just we all know sort of the elements that we live here on, the five elements, right? No?
I just really wanted to talk about Captain Planet. And I was like, oh my goodness, we're having this like really important health practitioner. And I'm like, oh my God, do you remember in the show, the Captain Planet? And it's wind, water, fire. Heart. Right? And I'm like, oh, the five elements. I know those. It's Captain Planet.
It is. Well,
he is a hero. Thank you for letting me get that out. Please
amazing.
Continue in a professional manner.
No. That was amazing. And a lot of us here may probably know that reference, right? So,
you probably heard the four elements, like water, wind, fire, earth, right?
Yes.
But in traditional Chinese medicine, it's a little bit different because they have five. So,
right.
And it's a little different, right?
So it's interesting too, because we were sitting here going through different sort of wheels from history and just sort of cross comparing
and
layering on top. It was amazing. So these are all sort of things we're all remembering from our history, right? These ancient practices. Like here we are in 2025, you know, we got Bluetooth fridges, but like, you know, we can tap into something that's so
Alexa, flush the toilet.
Right. So primordial and so different, and it makes it kind of connects us back.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I think there's also, I've seen things similarly, you know, like even the paleo diet, right? Like, like a caveman, it's like, or these basic instincts that we're doing, like we're going to the garage sale because we're on the hunt and we're going to gather. And we're going to find it.
This is like a true sort of renaissance or resurgence of sort of these ancient.
This deep, deep seated thing. Like cavemen, I'm sure we're doing sound healing.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, because that's one of the things that they would have had access to those tools.
Right. And they would have, I mean, think of it, you're in a caveman, you're not living in an air-conditioned, climate-controlled environment.
Well, actually, I'm kind of making a lot of assumptions that they didn't, but I'm going to assume that you're right.
But so then you were living in the elements, right?
And so it was so much more significant.
Right. You couldn't you couldn't escape from the elements.
2025, our elements are Wi-Fi, Bluetooth.
No. That's why we're going back.
Because
we're overstimulated, right? So
there's so much, a barrage of constant stimulation, and we're supposed to be like listening to the birds in the stream, and here we
absolutely.
Have. Absolutely. I'm not gonna get into it. You know.
But yeah, but like so, right now we're in springtime. This is wood season, right? So, you know, we're breaking through, and I always laugh when people say, oh, you know, it's the New Year's resolutions, like in the middle of winter. It's not fresh.
Right.
It's not spring. It's not the energy of yang, of sprouting up for new life for the year. It's, you know, we're still in sleepy winter mode, right?
The zodiac starts with Aries, right?
Right.
The number one, the cardinal, the head.
Right.
The number one is a cardinal sign.
So, I mean, about wood season would include, if you're talking zodiacal, Aries, Taurus, Gemini. So it would encompass the holidays
the
and the traditional rituals of that time of year, of the spring. Very celebratory, very looking forward, very working at, you know, tending the fields, redding
the
fields
like
the for
baby,
this year.
The baby,
right?
The calves are coming in the spring. The
birth,
flowers are popping up.
Fertility, abundance.
Totally.
readying.
I also think it's important to say, like, in Canada, we have very, very distinct seasons. Yes. So it's really easy for us to say, oh, you know, when the snow goes away right. and the flowers come and there's people with, like, year-round tropical, like, but they must have something similar, like,
yeah,
like different weather patterns.
It would still
flow
through the seasons,
right? There
must
be a cycle there. But it's so obvious in Canada yes. where you have that, like, very, very cold minus 40 yes. and then that really, really hot plus 30. And it's so, like, I don't
yeah,
know,
it
really stands out here.
And the wood brings the wind.
Oh,
the
right.
wind's
so
a change,
the
right?
five elements in traditional yes. Chinese medicine, one of them is wood.
Right.
Right, because I was saying it's a little bit different. Right. So we have the wood.
Is
the spring,
additional.
The
right.
beginning.
So you think the plants, the trees, the shrubs, the sprouts
it's
breaking
very woody.
Through. Right?
Right.
Then we flow to fire season.
Heck yeah.
Yeah,
fire so season. So I'm a fire sign. That's what I was like, heck yeah.
She is. So fire season, you know, just that
summer, baby.
You're kicking back. You're enjoying yourself. You're taking time with friends and family. You're laughing. You're eating together. Everything's in full bloom. It's, you know, it's a very
prime of your life.
Yeah. Optimistic time of the year. Longer days, right? Beautiful sunsets. Just enjoying yourself. And it's funny because when you look into constitutional things, fire sign people, you always have to leave extra time in the treatment room for them because they have to tell you their stories. Right, so you have to actually
called out.
Yeah, so I actually schedule.
Thank
a little
you for scheduling me extra time, and I bet all of my other appointments that I make probably also yeah. do the same, and I don't even know it.
So it's amazing because I'm as an Earth constitution, I don't mind.
I can, yes. And if you don't know about that, like you can feel like your earthiness and your groundedness.
Yes.
And then I'm just like that, like fiery.
Right.
So
and that's how it shows up
so
in people,
obvious
right?
To see that stuff.
Shows up in people that same way. So fire season, like we're saying, full bloom. And then of course, middle of summer, like the long days, you know, it's amazing.
Oh,
and
no,
then
fall's coming.
And then fall. Well, we got late summer. Okay.
Oh,
right?
Oh yeah. Late summer. Don't
late
forget about
summer
that.
Is Earth.
Global warming. Just kidding. We're not talking about that.
Well, Earth.
Captain Planet.
Earth signs are, there's two ways to look at it in the traditional paradigm of Chinese medicine. So Earth signs can be seen as late summer. So that would be sort of when you're
harvest,
right.
Almost.
You're getting into harvest season. Yeah. You're starting to pull in like the first crops in, right? It's very abundant. You're probably making your canning, your nourishment to stock away in your larders, you know? And those are like the warm, like summer nights where it's like everything's just the golden hour, right? That's Earth. Earth is the color
that's
yellow,
beautiful. That's
right?
That's got to be like, and when you think about the cycle of life, like that's just like the time in your life where you're in your prime, right? Like you did your childhood, you did your growing up, you did your this is awesome, and now you're just like glowing.
You're glowing.
In the end of summer, and you're not ready to kind of wind it down, but you see it coming, but you're just, this is it, man. This is what we did it for. We're here.
We're
here. We're a late summer.
The other way to look at Earth, surprisingly though, is would be sort of inter the pivots of the seasons. So between wood and fire, there could be that changing, that cyclical change where they maybe place
like a
Earth.
Little transition.
Or between summer and metal, or summer and fall, or fire, metal, then you have the pivot season there. So there's two ways to look at Earth on the wheel. And it's actually, you know, either way.
Or
yes,
as like just a connection.
As the pivot. And so, interestingly enough, because we live in a duality structure, we have the yin and yang. So wood would be considered yang. Fire
and
would be considered yang or
that's
masculine,
the male, right?
Yeah. So like fiery uprising, whereas metal and water would be considered yin or more feminine.
And water is too, as well, I believe.
So Earth is considered neutral. Yay. So now
masculine,
we're going
feminine. You just
have to. So neutral. So Earth is neutral. So Earth is neither masculine, feminine. It's the harmonizer. I use it a lot in my practice as a balance. And to heal the center so that the rest of the wheel turns properly.
Right. That makes sense. Because you have the swinging pendulum and you'll have one way and the other, but there's still that equilibrium.
There has
right?
to be an
that's
equilibrium. And that's what we ground back to.
Exactly.
That's where we find our ground again.
So we have the plus sign, the minus, and it's just swinging, right?
Right.
But it's not negative.
Which,
it's just
no,
a different feel.
It's a polarity. It's a shift. Yeah. It's different sides of the poles.
It's not lesser.
So fall. Fall is metal. I'm sort of deficient in metal. So I have sometimes I need more of this. It's funny because I wonder, is that why I'm using like titanium tuning forks and gongs? Because
you're drawn to add more of that.
I'm missing
to your life.
It, right? I wear my crystals and my... I'm full of like jewelry because I'm missing that element in my chart,
right,
quite a
so
bit.
Your sense is to gather more of
right.
that.
So I'm trying to boost my constitution to balance myself. So anyways, metal season, that is, we're talking like now we're into true harvest, pumpkins, apples. We're looking at Samhain. We're looking at Halloween and Thanksgiving. You're getting together with family to share your nourishments.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And to like, you know, really stock the larders for the winter. And this is the slow dying into the death season of
Denouement.
Winter. Right. So fall is the beautiful thing I see about fall is that nature is our greatest teacher. And when the first frost comes and all the leaves from the bushes and trees let go. And that's the message of fall, is to let go and then really go into the hibernation of what winter is. And here in Canada, I mean...
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you look to the animals, like the animals that hibernate
right.
will just literally go into seclusion and I don't know, they're probably meditating down there. Right,
they're meditating, they're readying for the spring of next year. They're either conserving their energy. They're in the deepest of
or
yin.
They're just taking off down to Mexico.
Well, that's what I wonder.
Like the monarch butterflies.
Listen, as a, you know, we have these... these people in Canada who go down south every winter.
Snowbirds.
And it's amazing, but at the same time, you're not really completing the cycle of the season. So it's interesting to me.
I think, though, if you have a certain condition that you feel
maybe.
Like really bad in the winter and you need that heat or warmth or whatever, like I'm not going to judge
no,
that.
No, absolutely
but
not.
But I do love experiencing those differences because it feels like it's internally, I want
right.
to do that cycle.
It's that's when we head into winter, right? So here in like Bragg Creek, Alberta, we get lots of snow. We get lots of cold.
There's still snow outside right now.
There's still lots of snow outside and it's 8 months of winter a year. It does get a little devastating in the swing seasons, but I do really enjoy winter because it almost blankets like the snow blankets. It quiets everything down. You're just getting cozy by the fire. You're taking in your winter nourishments. You go down to your larders. You get your beautiful foods you made during the other seasons and you nourish yourself and you prepare for next year. It is really is the death cycle, right? So, I mean, that's the beautiful thing. These five elements, we still live in them.
Exactly.
We're in a modern life, but we are still experiencing these things right
so
here, right now.
What were the five elements
so
of
wood,
Chinese medicine?
Wood, fire, earth, metal, and water.
Got it.
Cool.
When I think of the four elements and with earth, I sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, like earth, mother nature, plants and green and growth.
Right.
But then I'm like, but earth is also like more of like a masculine mountain. So it's really interesting that earth is has the neutral, right? Because
right.
it's also but in the traditional Chinese medicine, it's like they split that and they gave wood.
Wood has that masculine property.
Yeah.
Like
so
that sprouting.
So I kind of like that because earth, I'm like, well, which earth is it? The green or the brown, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
like
it's the
that.
Yellow in Chinese medicine, right?
Yeah. I was just literally picturing like brown dirt.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, go and side note, go stick your hands and feet in some brown dirt if you can right now, because it's amazing for you. And it is an antidepressant.
That, like once you start gardening, there's something in the soil that releases and it actually changes your mood.
It's like a microbiome.
Well, we're
thing.
Not here about
right.
smell and healing. We're here about sound healing.
But this is an earth constitution person telling you to garden. So take that with a grain of salt. So anyways, Kat just brought up sound healing. So yeah, the modality I practice of acutonics, we did briefly touch on, is sort of that layering or the sound and frequency portion of my treatment plans here, of what I do in private practice. So
knowing what is going on in your body relates back to the elements.
Absolutely.
And when you can identify what's going on, you can now use these acute tones.
Right.
But how do you figure out what tone does what?
Oh, see, so that's where we have to get planetary, right? So
yeah, the planets in so many cultures, because when you think about what you've got, right, you can look up in the sky and you can see the sun. Every culture has been like, well, the sun's pretty dang important.
Right.
And then you see the moon, right? And so they're usually quite similar of that symbolism.
So the sun and moon, also polarity, right?
Exactly.
So you've got the most yang, bright masculine sun, and the most yin, dark feminine moon.
Does it trigger you when you hear people say yin yang?
Well, I think it's yin and yang.
Like, I'm used to talking to you and yeah. I now say yin yang, but I remember like back would be like, oh, look at that. It's like yin yang. Now I'm just like, I don't know. I would cringe if I heard someone right. say that, but
you know, people got to say what they got to say. During Chinese medicine school, right. I'm not going to lie. I mispronounced a lot of pinyin. So we'll just say that.
I mispronounce things all the time. And you know what it is? Because when you're a reader and you read a lot yeah. and you sort of have a system in your mind that it you hear the sounds while you're reading, but if you're not hearing the actual pronunciation,
yes.
You're just relying on what your brain has already told and you the symbols are.
Think about even words as sounds. So they have the resonance, phonemes. A tone. So even in my treatment room, I'm really particular about what I speak about these days because those power of those mm-hmm. words are important.
Exactly. Like so, manifestation.
Right. And it's more about sometimes what I'll use is actually the...
What you feed will grow.
Right.
But so if you give your energy to something negative, right. that's what's going to grow.
But the pinyin name of things, even the name of the point per se translated into English, sometimes that can trigger something in that person that maybe... Right. that wakes up something or a remembrance in them. Oh yeah, so we talked about the sun and moon being polar opposites. So the sun in the acutonics paradigm is considered what's the astrological sign of the sun?
Well, that's
Leo.
Exactly. Like right? if you think about that outgoing, like
center stage,
radiating heat, just like, look at me, I'm the sun.
Front and center, right? Front and center. It is the
it's
heart.
The giver of all life.
Right? It is the representation of love, vitality, right?
You can't have like a lot of plants. Like that's yeah. the number one thing, you know, they need the sun.
They need the sun. Unless,
well, some don't.
And like, so what are Leos like? Like they take initiative, right? They're leaders. They are confident.
Fire sign.
They're confident and they are quite fiery, right? So, I mean, that's the beautiful thing with sun. So looking at that tuning fork, say, that's maybe something I want to put on a very boosting point. Maybe boost the kidney fire on Du 4, on Ming Men point. Or I might want to put it on the front Ren 4 or Ren 6 as like a boost of vitality to a patient who needs that in their body.
Right?
So,
so
I mean,
you look at the elements and you look what's right. going on in your body and then you're just like, you know what? You're a little damp here. Let's put a little fire there.
We need a little fire, right? So
balance
that's how
that
we,
out.
That's how we talk. That's how we use it on the meridians. So the moon is actually represented in acutonics by two frequencies. We have new moon frequency and
beginnings.
Full moon frequency.
Culmination.
Right. So that's very astute of you. So new moon.
Thank
you. New moon I use a lot. You know, if there's, it's almost like it's a dimensional portal opener. I feel like it's like what I use to clear a space if mm-hmm. I show up to do a sound bath
like opening a door.
Or to practice. It's a new beginnings, possibilities, right? Also, if you think about it in more of a gardening term, if something was too wet, you want to shed off. So if something's
right.
too damp, we need the drainage. So beginnings, possibilities, the unconscious intuition, of course, is the moon. The emotional body, right? And it's almost like a release or a beginning, a portal, like we mentioned. The full moon is completion, right? That's that protective grandmother, mother force. That
powerful, right?
Takes you into their bosom. Right. It's fierce, fierce guidance from mother, right? Illumination. So the new moon, things are dark and, you know, mysterious.
Yeah.
Full moon is fully illuminated.
Oh, there it is.
Right. And don't, side note, don't go looking for UFOs on a full moon because it's too bright out.
I don't know. Like I said, I think they want to go out on a full moon.
Maybe.
Henry, it's too dark. Wait for the full moon.
So anyways, the full moon, another beautiful way to speak to the meridians. So, even Chinese medicine, maybe you need to cool the liver. Liver's a little fiery. Full moon on liver 2, liver 3. just really pouring some water on the heat. So that is how you can use the full moon, or maybe to illuminate something in the field for them, to bring something to awareness, right?
Depending on what that patient requires on, right. on their, like, in their health journey. Right.
Then we have Mercury, or Hermes.
Did you want to get into, like, the whole Greek-Roman mythology and how they sort of gave the planets personalities?
Yeah, absolutely.
It ties into, like, the symbolism and everything, right. and what they stand for, right?
So Mercury definitely had that fast-footedness, that
Quicksilver,
darting back and forth, short-term communications.
Because Mercury travel. Has a yeah. really short orbit. Like, it's closest to the sun, so it's just
closest to the sun. So it's basically following the sun, right? So in how I would use that tuning fork, also rules throat, right, and lungs, shoulders, kind of area, the chest. So, I mean, obviously to talk to, like, maybe the lung meridian, communication, synergy, maybe to, obviously in Chinese medicine, we also have these interesting correspondence with ancient planetary influences. So Mercury is actually the water planet. So it also could be used to pour a little water on a situation, to activate the throat chakra, to activate the mind, the central nervous system. You know?
Yeah, because Mercury is like communication.
Absolutely. Right?
Or Hermes, if you're looking at the Greek.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and then also.
And the throat, like that's right. where your talking comes out, right?
That's where your talking comes out. And so these are great things for people who are also Gemini, if you have a Gemini client or a Virgo client, because they are ruled by the sign of Mercury.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what, next up we have Mars. So in, of course, the fire element.
War god Aries. Like, right. That guy don't mess around. No, he's so solar plexus. He's like.
Cardinal, fire sign, you know, so action, willpower, the fire element in Chinese medicine. Like that one makes so
Mars
much sense.
Mars is the red planet, right? Right? And red is like this fiery, like.
Yeah. And so Mars is that courage, determination. It's protective.
Right, so it's not just a dangerous. It's like you need that drive and that passion to do something and be really in it.
Right, we all need a little fire sometimes to get motivated, or a little fire under our mm-hmm. rumps, right? So it's like, it's that spark. Like spiritual warrior. That's what I feel like we're coming into this time now as Mars moved into Aries, or sorry, Neptune moved into Aries. And we're just in this like spiritual warrior mode at this time on the planet.
Because Neptune is like right. brings that spiritualness to
right.
it.
So it's now in the cardinal sign of Mars.
Wow.
So buckle up for
Neptune
how many
is
years.
One of those ones yeah. that has a really huge orbit.
Right.
So,
so she's staying like, for a while.
128, whatever.
I don't think it's that long, but still, I feel like that's going to shed some light on some of the wellness kind of industry at yeah. this time, right?
Well, and so if Mars is a fiery thing, so if you yeah. have a condition like, so I used to have like a issue with like dry skin, right? So yeah. I feel like if that's a, like, I don't know where I'm going with that.
So Mars more so in the system I use as the fire. So you can use it to fire something up.
So maybe
again.
I wouldn't want fire on a dry skin. For a dry right. skin, I'd probably want some more moisture in
right.
there. What's something I would want fire? What would be?
So fire, I'm saying it's very, can be used similarly than as the sun fork in a way.
Now I see why you went sun and then.
With a different interval, yeah. right? So you can create a different yeah. intervallic personality with say Earth and Mars than you can with Earth and sun.
They're like related, but a little different flavor.
Right, a little flavor. If you want to motivate somebody, someone who's.
That, get that fire, get
right?
that, you know, yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, mentally, emotionally, if you need someone to get motivated, you need to give them some courage and confidence, this is when you can use Mars. And another beautiful way to use Mars is balancing with Venus. So then we have in the treatment room, say in the field around the patient, I can set a tone of balance and harmony using the poles again. Here we are, Mars and Venus, masculine,
right.
feminine.
Yes,
right?
That duality again.
So now we can get into Venus a little bit. I mean, Aphrodite.
Oh, Venus.
I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your
Aphrodite.
Desire. Aphrodite, Persephone maybe in some other mythology. She
that
is
feminine energy.
Love. She is feminine. She is balance, harmony, beauty, attraction, creativity.
And I believe that your sign is ruled by this planet. Absolutely. So it looks like you're a little bit favoritism over here. Venus is where it's at.
So ruling signs would be Taurus and Libra for Venus. Venus is the metal element in Chinese medicine, and it took me a few times to wrap my head around it, but it is...
Because it seems soft, but then metal is, like, sharp,
but
right?
But there is that side of Aphrodite. There's that vanity. There's that beauty overall.
When you said that, I thought about metal being reflective like a mirror.
Yes, exactly. So it's beauty overall. It's maybe, you know,
I was thinking of like just like metal, but now when I think about it, it's like gold and silver and precious metals.
Right. And Venus, it corresponds with copper, actually.
Wow.
Right? So, I mean, we're talking this beautiful reflective, that sort of patinas over time,
yes.
Right? And becomes a new kind of beauty. I'm a little biased in this category, but maybe someone who is more ruled by Venus might buy a prettier looking couch that's not so comfortable to sit on. That's all I'm thinking.
My couch got style and flair.
Yeah. So maybe it's a little more vanity than it is practicality.
Like pleasure and beauty.
Right. Right. Maybe, you know, maybe we don't need that many gongs. I don't know, but
you
it feels like you do.
You need more gongs, Kim. I'm giving you permission, okay? You need more.
So Venus, I would use to talk to the metal element, so I could use it to correspond with a lung or large intestine. Those are the yin and yang of the metal element. And like I said, amazing to balance and harmonize someone who is imbalanced, someone who tends to be more masculine or swing more feminine. So giving you that nice, beautiful
in between. So it's like this duality. It's like any single health condition, I think you could do like it's bad one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Chinese medicine is all we're doing is putting imbalances into balance. So we're looking for harmony.
Right. And I know the word qi, right? That was what it would be, this life force.
Right.
That you're balancing.
Right. And it's just like, that's again, that mapping system of the body. We're just modern day cartographers on an ancient system. And we're just putting in signals for the patient or the client to like remember or reawaken their innate wisdom. Right.
So we did Mars, Mercury, Venus.
Right. So now we probably have to go to Jupiter.
Woohoo! Yes, my
ruling planet of Sagittarius.
That guy's awesome.
He is awesome.
He's the king.
He's Zeus.
Actually, I don't really want to. Zeus might get canceled in our culture, so I don't want to be like too excited about it.
Okay. Well, he's Zeus. He's the king of the planets. He's the largest. He's a large guy up there. So he is very expansive. He calls in abundance. Spiritual knowledge, because the ninth house in the astrological wheel would be sort of that higher education and learning.
And in the planets, like physicality, right. Jupiter is the big one.
It's the big guy. So, I mean, also I think of the words joy, hope, optimism, to make things bigger, right? Abundant and big and joyous, right? But also has its sort of more masculine
flair. But a different
flavor right?
than the Sun Leo the Mars.
Right. Mars Aries. Aries energy. So Jupiter would have ruled Sagittarius's, and in the ancient astrology before the newer planets were discovered, it would have ruled Pisces as well, which actually makes quite a bit of sense to
me. Right, because they didn't know about Neptune.
They didn't know about
Neptune. So they were like, you know what? I think that Pisces is really resonating with this.
Yeah. And you know what? It does kind of have that flair. Although I do like the Neptune correspondence. It's like that completion of the cyclical
thing.
When
you see the whole, like all the parts are there, it kind of fits in. But when you just have some of them, like you can still draw those connections.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you're like, wait, there's more to this.
Right. So Jupiter use in the treatment room, okay? Wood element. So great to bring in the spring season, right? When you want people to sort of break through.
Wood is spring.
Spring. They want to break through a little bit. It's
getting things going.
Get things started. The days are getting longer. Initiation, fertility, expansion. But also, it's like a good deal of work. It's like you got to ready the fields for the season.
Well, when I think about Sagittarius, you know, the archer, it's like this the centaur, and it's like running around in the field with
running
this bow
around
and arrow, you know?
Right. Getting bit like being busy, and it's also
movement, and the part of the body ruled would be like
the hips and thighs.
I was
so interesting you mention that, because on the gallbladder meridian runs right through the buttocks and down the lateral side of the leg. So I use wood to speak to the wood element and also to speak to the meridian in, say, the cases of sciatica or a lot of people that suffer from sort of lateral side hip and leg pain. So very, very good to use.
Well, then I mentioned yesterday my SI joints, right? And that's sort of where I get my stiffness from when I'm, you know, that's where I get.
So a lot of times that could just be maybe moved through a bit with the wood element as
sort of blockage would be, right?
So we're talking about how can we practically look at a situation and use a planetary archetype to bring it. But also think about you place that frequency of Jupiter right in that SI joint and it expands and makes bigger and moves through because, you know, liver chi flows in all directions, just like Jupiter flows in all directions. So now you're really opening up that channel and moving through the blockage that needs to move through. So Jupiter, sometimes I will use in conjunction with Saturn as sort of physicality issues where there's expansion and contraction issues.
Yeah, because I see Saturn is kind of opposite, right?
It's like absolutely.
Where Jupiter is like, woohoo! Saturn's like, woo, woo. Wah, wah. You know, but we need that duality, and I don't want to say that's a negative thing, but that's just sort of how it is, right?
So Saturn,
when I think of Saturn,
Saturn is constrictive. It's Kronos, you know, it's the grandfather.
So that makes me think of winter.
It is winter,
the old man winter.
But also in Chinese medicine, you know, it gets a bad rap. I do love that Saturn is the earth element.
Well, I mean, and it's named Saturday, and who doesn't love Saturday?
Right, and then we have Saturday ruling the day Saturday. Saturn's great, though, in times when you need to manifest structure.
So when you're not like, let it go, you're like, actually keep that in.
No, but you're like trying to build and actually make a framework, like actually build a building, build a business, build a podcast.
Instead of an expansion, it's a contraction.
Well, right. Sometimes we need to get to work and actually put the framework in.
I need the framework in.
Right. Well, because you have you have a lot of Jupiter. So it just makes sense. So, but I love that it represents the earth element, its structure, its support, its wisdom, along with old age.
Is it Capricorn?
Yeah, its ruling planet would have been.
Because when you say those things, I'm like, that's just like the description for the personality type of
Capricorn.
Someone in Capricorn. Like, it's all connected. I don't know.
But also Aquarius, because in the ancient astrology, it would have ruled both Capricorn and Aquarius.
The water goat and the water bearer.
It's discipline. Think of that. So you have a patient that, you know.
See, when you say that, I think more Virgo too, which is
right. That's the Mercury, but discipline. So someone that needs to maybe, you know, not be so expansive and creative all the time, but actually has to, you know, you can run these beautiful businesses, but you still got to do the paperwork and, you know, like, so.
You need that duality.
You need the duality. So that's Saturn. Saturn, like I said, you can use in the treatment room when you're having issues of control. Traction, expansion, and things. And Saturn.
So when you say that, I think of muscles.
Right. Well, Saturn rules the muscles because Earth rules the muscles.
Right.
And Jupiter rules the tendons.
I was going to say, what was Jupiter? Again?
So Jupiter rules. So if there's
the connectors,
musculoskeletal issue.
Oh man, you said skeletal. That's like my favorite word.
Or the tendon issue. Then these are great archetypes to use on, say, some of the key points for that.
Right.
But so. Planetary archetypes continued, then we'd have sort of now, see, that's the main personal planets that we had, right? That was Mercury, Mars, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter. So that's what we knew for many times, but then we started to get better at astronomy.
And then in the Renaissance, when the science kicked up again, when they had some people inventing some new ways of using the lenses that they discovered, and they were like, whoa, there's some more big rocks out
there. So there's more big rocks. So starting on those
big... Or gas giants.
We have Uranus, right? So we had... Now we have Uranus ruling Aquarius. And Aquarius is like that pattern disruptor, that rebel rouser.
I feel like they're almost like misfits.
They are the misfits.
Yeah. But they're awesome.
They're awesome.
I see them as artists.
So they're artists. They're that real freedom loving, like loner. You can't pin them down. Like very initiation of change. They're unexpected. They're more like.
It's an air sign, right?
It's an air, a fixed air. So they might be.
So they're a very movable air, but they're a very in the same place. ice air.
In the same tornado. Place. So they are sort of represent in the house, and the 11th house in your chart would represent the collective or like community. So maybe more community based than more of an Aries person might be more soul person based.
Like a cardinal
right?
sign.
Right. So this is Uranus. So what would he do in the treatment room? So he would break up, right? So you need to break up like a cyst or a formation maybe that's yeah. actually physically on the body that you want to break it up.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe use this tuning fork frequency to do that, to pattern disrupt, you know, maybe someone that needs a little more of a rule breaking situation that, you know, maybe the person who's following the letter of the law, maybe we need to give them a little rebel rousing energy.
Right. Because right? again, you need a balance. Because if you right. go what too far one way, it can be detrimental.
Right.
So you got to get like a little bit of each, you know?
So we got to break it up. And so Uranus, a lot of times I use in conjunction with the planet Neptune because Neptune dissolves. So if you have something like a cyst, which is like sort of a phlegm damp, you want to break it up and then you want to dissolve it and sort of let it move through the body. So these two frequencies are used an, or even to break up and dissolve the calcification on a pineal gland on the third eye. So you can use Uranus and Neptune to do that breakup like, and dissolve of yeah. those things. So a little more about Neptune, obviously now the ruler of Pisces, the mutable water.
Oh yeah, Poseidon.
Right, Poseidon, Merlin, all those beautiful archetypes.
Love Merlin.
That is what we call in Chinese medicine the connection to the Wu Qi, or like the infinite consciousness, the black void. Cosmic consciousness.
So if chi is like a life force, then wu just kind of adds on a little bit more being like
void. It's literally where what we came out of, the black void, the whole, and the collective consciousness of everything operating, your soul, my soul on this planet, our oversouls up in the universe and the cosmos. Literally, it is transcendental. It is the mystic. It is the dreamer. It is oneness. Yeah. So even though we live in this duality paradigm, like we talked this whole time about the poles and this duality field, it's the oneness. It's that time when you are in the zone, you're in that meditative state.
Yeah, I was going to say the meditative state.
You feel whole. You can look at that
tree.
It's
like a connection to the divine, right?
Right. It's oneness. It's wholeness. It's that you are a part of everything. You are a microcosm of the macrocosm, which is beautiful.
Yeah, man. I love that.
Right? So Pisces, I mean, you can...
Dreamy.
Right. Dreamy, watery, flowing in many directions at once. And so Neptune being more of the dissolver, you know, it
like
can...
Like water. Like it would... Right, water. Like it dissolve... Right.
Like, so maybe you want to boost water again, like, you know, like the moons. You maybe you want to basically tap that person into more their intuition. You know, maybe it's a very wood element type person.
So it seems like Neptune and the moon are kind right. of similar, would be kind but again of with that different flavor.
With that different
like,
flavor
would you
again.
Say that Neptune is maybe the more masculine and the moon is more feminine? Or is that
I
doesn't
think,
really apply
I think
there.
They're both would be considered feminine.
Right, because water is that
right.
sort of a...
But then it's like this beautiful way to... Then we're talking with the earth or the ohm frequency in the acutonics modality and the tuning forks. There are two different ways to use intervallic personalities. So intervallic personalities are just using things like... major and minor thirds, perfect fifths, and different intervals in music to also have a layer. So you're using the planetary archetypes, and then you can layer even further with using an intervallic personality.
Okay, so that's a lot of big words there, yes. Kim. Let me just step it back here a minute. Okay, so we've got the traditional Chinese medicine using a more spiritual approach, a more holistic approach.
Yes.
We have sound being such a very important thing. pardon me. We have early scientists looking up and seeing planets, correlating them with things.
Right.
We have these planetary archetypes, which some cultures turned into like the Greek gods, whatever. And
yes.
now we are circling back. We have the planet archetypes, we have associations and sort of feelings and symbolism with each of those. And now somehow we got to get from there to what sound is going to represent those? Like, you're like, oh, let's see. Bang, that sounds a bit sunny. Like, what do you do? How do they calculate
that's
that?
That's actually, it's more of a Yang thing than you would think. It's, I guess, in a way you could intuitively feel into a sound and feel if it's yin or yang.
So is this kind of like when you are really love a song, and also like if it's a really happy, upbeat song, that will affect your mood, right? And if it's a very slow, sad song.
So like a major chord would be more uplifting. And a minor chord, so oftentimes in the acutonics paradigm, we use a minor third.
Can you make a tuning fork be minor or major? Like,
you can with two.
Well, I guess it's kind of like a B sharp, right? Or
right, B flat. So what happens is the tuning forks in this system are all given a note, and then you use the bass note of ohm, and then you create...
Is that like middle C?
It is C sharp.
Because when I was learning...
Ohm is C sharp. And say the zodiac fork, which we haven't talked about yet, would be F. So C sharp to F is a minor third. So how I would use that is I look at what does a third represent in the intervallic personalities. So that is a releasing. So the minor third actually talks to the pain body felt by the soul. So it is used to maybe move through a painful spot on the body. Or to create that release.
Because this isn't just like mental health. This is like literally physical health too. This is like you say, if you have a cyst and you have you break that up. Yeah. Or if you have a something that is stuck and you need to get it moving. Right. Like I love that it is also physical health. Like that's
so the thing is you can use this with a more physical practice. Say you are a massage therapist. You're an acupuncturist that works on sort of musculoskeletal like injuries or like, you know, you're working in a chiropractic clinic. You can use these forks to very much speak to the physical body. But what they have different layers of these forks. Like I said, they have different octaves of these forks. So the two pronged resonators that actually go right on the body can be used in a lower or mid tone. But there's also these higher tone chimes and tuning forks.
Is that the one with the little circle on the end that I saw at the...
Well, no, these would be... They can be a square look shape, but it doesn't really matter what they look like.
Right, it just has to be the tone.
Right, they're the higher tones, and you don't use those directly on the body. You actually use those in the field around the body to clear...
Like a sound bath.
Right, so there's a lot of things you can do physically on the body. There's also things you can do in the field around the person to create.
What if someone is deaf?
Well, you know what? That's interesting you say that because my partner has a deafness issue and wears hearing aids. And when I treat him, he feels vibration. He has
a
more astute feeling of the vibratory tones, mm-hmm. which actually kind of gives him a superpower to feel it.
Wow.
Rather than hear it. So,
well, that's true. That's like have a car with a lot of bass.
Exactly.
You don't have to hear to feel the bass.
Right. So you feel it. Like a lot of DJs can be deaf as well.
Can he tell like the different tones even?
Or is it just a
vibration?
I think it's more of the vibratory.
Well, he can feel it differently.
He feels the vibratory wave.
He probably has taken this sense different and we can't even fathom what he can differentiate. That's amazing.
So he's doing the vibratory wave thing. And when he has, when we do treatments with him, I wouldn't say he's the most esoteric person in the world, but he has, when I asked him what happened, he has the most amazing sensations that happen in treatment. So
he can explain to you what's going on inside his body.
So it's very much, it actually blows my mind a little bit that he has such an astute understanding of the wave,
the
sound.
A lot of people kind of struggle to listen
wave.
To their body.
Right. So this is that's a great thing to bring up because people are not in their bodies anymore.
Right.
We're online. We are overstimulated. We are living in sympathetic nervous system.
Escapism.
So this is a great way to actually bring them back to the body. And the feeling of the resonation on the body is honestly, it almost puts you into a meditative state. It's because it's so calming and soothing.
Right.
So a lot of times in treatment in my private practice, I will run the double ohm, so the same unison ohm forks down both sides of the central nervous system or the all the way from cranial down to sacral, and then balance the poles at the end on both sides. And that's so calming to people. It is the points we call ji aji, or their extra points in Chinese medicine, that you wouldn't want a needle, like boom, 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 the whole spine. But they're amazing points at resetting the nervous system and putting people back into a more parasympathetic state. So I can run that protocol pretty much on every patient I have.
So the parasympathetic, that's like when you take a really big deep breath and your body resets and then you're calmer.
Right.
Or when...
Because as...
You
as
know when you're sitting and there's like a babbling brook and it's just a soothing, yeah, gentle sound. Or when if you use a white noise or a brown, right, noise, and or it's just pink that noise, soothing sound.
So that puts... So those are sounds, binaural tones. Those things put your brain waves into a balanced state.
Right.
So it actually does a thing within both hemispheres of your brain where, especially like binaurals, so notes that I, when I'm saying binaurals, I mean notes that are just off from each other. Right. And they create like a wobble effect. And when I went back to school for Chinese medicine, and you know, at age 40, I had to relearn how to study. I often use binaural tones to like put my brain into a relaxed, right, state to really absorb the information I was getting. So, I mean, think of what that can do to people. So now that I'm running sound baths, I do gongs and the alchemy crystal tones bowls. Those alchemy bowls, I have sets that contain a lot of binaurals and trineurals. And so that's in a sound bath. Oftentimes people just feel lulled away by those, right, tones. Or they'll actually maybe even fall asleep, you know? Yeah. So it's really,
it's soothing.
It's really that reset to the brain. And you,
yeah,
if
the
you
parasympathetic,
think, right, right. If you think about acupuncture, so oftentimes when I explain it to someone coming into my treatment room or my practice, I say, this is like when your computer's open and it's firing like all these different windows and there's music coming and it's, you don't know where things are going on there, and you just do a hard reset. You just take the power button and,
ooh,
yeah,
don't do that. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's, I'm good just for saying, maybe it's not good for your computer, but it's definitely good for your central nervous system.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So these acupuncture treatments, when they come into my room, I want to create this atmosphere where they can have a hard reset to a more calmer state, so that when it's just like doing yoga, doing tai chi, qigong, when you get off going for a walk, going for a beautiful hike, sitting by, you know, listening to nature, mm-hmm, when you get away from there, you remember how that felt, and then you maybe have a touch point where you can somatically understand how, right, that felt in your body and go back to that state.
Yeah.
So if the more you, I'm not saying you need an acupuncturist, although I feel like maybe we all do, just like we need therapists, just like we need
my
support.
Website and phone number is to book an appointment. Just kidding.
But I mean, I'm just saying, if you have someone, a structured support team that's taking care of you holistically, right, then you have these touch points in where you feel more grounded, you feel more in your
so
body.
So when you say touch point, do you mean like a part on your body, like a meridian, or do you mean like a portion of nature, or a touchstone just being like a thought that you can bring back? Like a,
absolutely, that's like exactly what I mean. So what's that, it's like a somatic experience in your body. We're not on the same wavelength, but what I'm saying is, when you see people and you go to these appointments and you reset yourself, it's like training your body to do it more often, right?
Okay, yeah.
So it's a touch point back in that says,
so it's not,
oh,
a physical,
yeah,
touch point, it's just the word,
it's
meaning
the word,
that's,
yeah,
the door to
so
get
it's
there.
The door, it's the portal, right, to get back to, okay, a more centered.
I just wanted to clarify that because I was thinking of the points.
But like, absolutely, so a centered and conscious state. So what, I mean, what we're all trying to achieve in this modern day and this technology-driven, fast-paced society that we live in now is a remembrance and a feeling of feeling grounded and connected to the,
right,
cosmos.
And I think that's,
right,
why a lot of people are just yearning for that.
That's right. What's,
or
what we're missing.
The good old days, the simpler, right, times. And the,
and they're not simpler times, but what we,
oh yeah, no, like, no, it's so romanticized.
Right. But it's, but that's the whole,
but the
idea.
The urge is, yeah, things weren't as, didn't feel as difficult.
Right. And so the whole idea is, here we are, we're getting back to ourselves, our true natures, right? And we're starting, the more we tap into these zones and live in that vibrational frequency of that feeling of being really tapped into our unique soul, our unique purpose here in this world, we're just in a better state to flow, right?
That sounds so beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing. Oh. Ah. Dun, dun, dun.
Poetic.
Like, it sounds like this.
Like you feel it.
You feel it. And we all, that's what we are doing. So we are instruments, right? Our bodies are these beautiful instruments. And sometimes they need a little tuning up. I'm going to do this again. So thank you for tuning in to the Extraordinary Practice podcast today. We're here to elevate your holistic practice. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kat.
And we'll be here monthly to guide you through these topics of the metaphysical and esoteric as we move through our conversation.
So much to learn, man.
So much to learn. And we're so stoked to have Kat here to be our person on the outside. Yeah,
I got a lot of fringe interests. I got a lot of random trivia. I can't wait to pepper that in.
And please send us anything you're interested in learning about. We have a series coming up specifically about the acutonic sort of paradigm. There'll be 5 episodes featuring some great information on that and how to pepper that into your treatment room. And beyond that, we are going to explore, we are going to move out into the quantum
field. Yeah, man, I hope we have a good time while we're doing it.
And we're going to have a great time doing it. And we're so thankful that you joined us today. And have a great time out there in the cosmos.